time for us to present something to you that we feel strongly about.
Tick, 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 tick.
Incredible.
Get up, I must come down. Can't get the bells to stop ringing.
I told you once, baby. I told you once that I'm not.
To the dance floor.
Hey, yeah.
I love it just like you love it. That's why you're here. I'm here because I love to play. You don't come, I can't play, and I love to play. So,
what's your bass spins?
Yo, what's up, bassheads? We have a very special treat for you today on the Bassbin podcast. We are chatting all things drum and bass with one of the best producers in the business. We're talking about Break. He is days away from releasing his fourth studio album on his own Symmetry Recordings, and we started off the conversation by asking when and how the concept for Digital World came to life.
It was a kind of few stepping stones. It kind of wasn't an immediate plan from the beginning. I want to do an album called Digital World, and it's going to be 12 tracks and come out now. Because it was more, collecting tunes in a folder. And I think probably around 2020, maybe 2021, kind of second year of lockdown. And I'd done a dub pack, I think in 2020, and that, you know, that went well. And that was a few of the tracks I thought about putting in an album, but I kind of got that together. And then there were a few left over that I kind of were like, these are a bit too good. I might hang on to them for something special. And then, it was just collecting this big folder of tunes, and I wrote Break Album, and that was kind of just what it was for then. And just kind of collecting more and more. And then I think probably last year, I started getting a plan together, and a few more of the vocalists kind of came on board, and it all started to take shape.
So tell me a little bit more about where the album name came from. Obviously, you're a pretty reclusive producer and you spend a lot of time working in a more analog setting, that's for sure. Is this a reflection of where you're at musically? Do you prefer to use some more vintage equipment and more musical elements in your productions to really bring a little bit of soul into a genre that can be quite clinical?
I think a little bit. I mean, the album itself has got a lot of vocals, and it's quite musical. At some points when I played it, people, they're like, oh, it's quite liquidy. Or then it was like, there was a point I had too many vocals, and every track was a vocal track. And then I kind of liked that idea, but other people, you know, kind of gave me that feedback, and myself when I was playing it out was like, I need a few more dance floor tunes. So there is a bit of, obviously there's synthesis involved, and like, I'm not anti-synths. I guess it was a commentary even more so just about life in general. You could take that line and just apply it to non-music things. And as a person, are you soulful? Or like, you know, there's so much. That's why when you see the cover, having all these screens, you know, that was a kind of, there's so many little things that kind of, sometimes you look out a crowd and it's just a load of people with phones filming everything, and it kind of looks like that a bit. Just in life, everything's got super digital, and it's all based around a lot of that technology. But you know, you want to sort of hold on to a bit of humanity and a bit of soul.
So what were you going for with this album, Digital World? Obviously, you come from a background and started releasing tracks in kind of the heyday for labels like Quarantine, Virus, and even, what was the other one? Even Metalheads as well. You seem to have grabbed this sort of like the groove of neo-soul, the sort of organic grit from vintage soul, and combine them with the percussion of Metalheads, the distorted, morphing bass lines of Virus, and then also just that really sort of ambient, tight, underground electronica feel on Quarantine. Is that something that you decided consciously to do, or is this album just a representation of where you're at in terms of your experiences over the last 20 years in drum and bass, combining with your influences from outside the genre?
Well, thanks for the, I need that as like a review. It was a great little description. So I really appreciate what you're saying, and that is kind of somewhat what I was going for. I think the analog, I think it's just a combo of things where like, I do have analog equipment I've used, and I try, when you're doing an album, you put that extra effort in to kind of utilize things. You can get away with not doing it. You know, the software's got so good, and there's a lot of software and plugins on that album that's not analog, but you can make things sound analog as well. And a lot of that's just kind of style. You know, you could use all the plugins and sound ultra clinical and digital and technical and perfect that way. Or you can use all that stuff and make it sound really degraded and kind of lo-fi if you want. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the plugins have got great, you know, these days. But there's a few bits of gear I've used that I'd use them on one or two tracks and I was like, oh, those have just got a sound that the others haven't got, and I need to kind of add that to a couple of the other tunes. So there was, a kind of few things that I used on tracks that just kind of gave it a sound. But I think you combine that with, you've got vocals, they're real. A lot of the drums that I use are kind of real breaks and real hits. And so just the sound palette itself is quite kind of, you know, natural. And then there's tunes, there's some cool, you know, dirty basses that are Serum and all that kind of standard D&B kind of stuff mixed together. So like you kind of said, it's just all the little best of the stuff I like kind of thrown together.
You did speak before about Digital World having plenty of vocalists on there. One of those vocalists is MC or Singing Fats, who passed away earlier this year. You know, it must be a pretty surreal experience to have something from someone who was a colleague and a friend of yours for a number of years on the album. You know, in terms of what it actually means to you, what does it mean to have some of MC Fats' music on the album so close to him passing away?
Yeah, I mean, it's, like you said, it's a kind of bittersweet kind of result. I mean, what I'm very pleased about is that he heard the tune, he saw the kind of, just the kind of weight that tune left. And so I'm really pleased, you know, he just got to experience that release and that it came out on single and it kind of did its thing in 2022. And that's the last time I actually saw him, I think, in person, was at Sun and Bass. And that tune had got hammered throughout Sun and Bass, you know, and he was just really chuffed that that had been the big tune of that festival. And, you know, like kind of Boomtown and other like shows that summer, it had been a really big tune. So yeah, he was really chuffed with the track, and that was the last time I saw him, was just after a couple of shows in Sun and Bass. And we were speaking on the phone after that, and talked about maybe getting the track remixed, and yeah, we'll see what happens with that one. So I feel really lucky that I got that opportunity to kind of make one really good last track with him. And it's one, you know, I think he's got lots of other tunes that haven't come out, so it's not like the last tune he did. There's going to be stuff you'll see popping up this year from other producers. I think in terms of it being one of the last tunes he saw come out, that was, you know, really special to have that opportunity.
Let's speak about one of the other vocalists on Digital World, and one of them is Charlie Bricks. You've managed to really capture the musicality from someone who's such a talented and technically proficient singer. You know, the harmonies that you've managed to create on that track with her are pretty special. Can you just walk us through what the process was like working with such a great artist and vocalist?
Well, yeah, we've been trying to do stuff, do a tune for like a couple of years, and I'd sent her a couple of things during lockdown and she sent a few ideas back, and I think we were both kind of like, we could each do better. And I thought, oh, the tune I've sent you is okay, I need to send you a better tune. And she kind of liked the vocal, we were kind of just like, no, we're gonna try again. And I think at that point we did a little kind of I don't know what you call it, it's like a mood board if you're doing visuals, but just like a bunch of tracks of like vibes and ideas to listen to, mostly non-D&B kind of neo soul stuff and soul tunes. And and I was just like, look, this is the kind of vibe I'm going for. And she was like, yeah, I love all those tunes, I know exactly what you've got in mind. And so yeah, we kind of worked mostly to that kind of half speed intro, and I played the keys and played the stuff in, and then she had these ideas and kind of ran through a few of them. She recorded on her phone and I was like, yeah, I love those, let's get it in. And kind of just what she came up with was perfect. And I'm quite into stacking harmonies, so I kind of, you know, we worked out those harmonies for that section and just stacked up a bunch of of harmonies and got a really nice bed. She had such a nice tone for that tune. Yeah, it was a really good session. We were both really chuffed. I think we did it all maybe in that day, or she might have come back and done a few little extra bits. But yeah, it was a pretty successful session. Yeah, that's one of my personal favourites, that one for sure.
Let's talk about Liam Bailey. He is an artist that is very experienced and prolific in his own right. You've worked with him on two songs for the album on Digital World that are very, very different. You've got a percussive workout with, you know, Gunshot Love. And then the other one has got a very sort of distinctive and almost a garage influence running through it. Can you just talk to us a little bit about what it was like working with Liam in the studio and trying to capture his versatility as an artist?
Gotta Believe was the first one we did, which was, yeah, like a garagey tip was the whole idea behind that one. And that's where I thought he would be good for that track, because I just wanted that soulful garage kind of style vocal. And so I kind of explained that to him. That track we recorded at another guy's studio in London, so it was, he recorded there before I hadn't, so it was a little bit of a different environment for me, because I wasn't really on the buttons and I was more just in the room, but I could, you know, just give him feedback, give him direction. But he's a very kind of freestyle-y sort of singer, and he'll write stuff and he'll kind of work out what he wants to do and do that, but he'll just suddenly jump off and do some other thing, and you're like, wow, that's wicked too. So you kind of got vocals kind of flying at you from all sides, and he's quite spontaneous, you know, so he'll suddenly catch an idea. And so it's kind of just, because you've got other singers who might want to just sing the same thing over and over again and get it right, and they're really particular about it, where he obviously wants to get things right, but he's so kind of good anyway, he kind of nails things quite well, and it's almost like, I think he's one of those singers, the more you do it, you could start losing it, and it's kind of the first couple of takes are the best. So yeah, it's just trying to sort of capture stuff and kind of, yeah, grab the best bits as you're going and kind of find the right leads to follow, where he might do something and you're like, no, that other thing you were doing is better, let's go down that road. But there was a lot of material for Gotta Believe, and I think with all the tracks I did with him, it was that same problem of like painfully having to cut stuff. You got too much vocal to fit in 5 minutes. But because it was going on vinyl, that's one of the other considerations, was you can't have this tune that eats up too much on one side. So yeah, I had to kind of, I think I did shorten that tune a bit from how it originally was. It was a good experience. And the other, we actually did a third track, which isn't on there, but we did another session around mine. And then that's where we did Gunshot Love. And it was a bit more like, yeah, my regular vocal session here. And yeah, it was another good day.
The next track that an artist that I wanted to speak about was the appearance of the easily identifiable SPMC. He is one of the most distinctive voices in the drum and bass scene, and quite prolific, or at least he used to be. He's worked with you on quite a few of your previous studio albums. Can you just walk us through what it was like getting him back in the studio for and trying to get him back in his element?
It was wicked. I mean, he's been on quite a few of my albums, so he's always, and I think he wasn't on the last one, and I was like, oh, I need to get SP back involved. And you know, he was in Bristol for a gig, and we were like, yeah, let's hook up after the show the next day and do a vocal. I think I'd sent him the tune, he'd been kind of working away on it at home, and I think we recorded a few bit different bits that session, and I seem to remember with that one, he did a big long verse, and then after he left, I chopped certain bits out and used that kind of section that's in the track, because that was the kind of the best bit, and it just had the catchiest kind of, you know, lyrics. And yeah, it was just a kind of like, we always try and make it have that feel of like, you're in the club, it's what he does and what I do, and it's quite just a clubby, heavy stomper, that tune. And yeah, we kind of just, I put some effort into, he's got a very particular voice, which he knows as well. It's like, not hard to record, but he's got really strong sibilant S's, which really cut through, which is why, you know, in a club, he'll come on the mic sometimes to just cut through better than other people. He's got a sharp, kind of cutting voice. But if you get that right in the studio, it kind of cuts through really nicely. And that was something we put a bit of effort into, just getting a good vocal sound. And he was really pleased. And a few other producers were like, wow, you got SP sounding really good on that one.
You're like, yes, I did.
I tried. I was pretty pleased. And it's nice to just hear him sounding good on the record. Same with the other singers. You know, I really try to make the singer sound the best they can, and better than ideally on some other tunes. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and you know, there's other amazing producers out there who've done great vocals with people, but you're like, yeah, I really want to try and hit a good vocal quality, you know, level.
We're working in a genre and an industry that is always focused on what's next, and you have now released 4 studio albums. You've also released something, a bit of a side hustle with your project with The Degrees. You've got, your own record label, Symmetry Recordings, to continue developing and exposing new artists. So what have we got in the pipeline from Symmetry Recordings and from you over the next couple of months that we can look forward to?
I don't know. I mean, like you said, even so far this year, I've hardly been in the studio because... it was, yeah, a big sort of push last year to kind of get everything finished, or kind of this year as well. But yeah, I think I finished the album on just before New Year, so it was kind of the end of the year, finished that off. So yeah, this year I have just been kind of, I still do my mastering work, so that's the kind of only stuff I've really been doing in the studio, and a bit of film sort of school work. That's what I'm doing this week. So I kind of just delve into different things to kind of keep busy and to keep kind of a bit of diversity on what's going on. But yeah, it's a kind of one of those kind of hiatus, sort of pause situations. It's kind of the same with my sort of setup and everything here. Everything's always on the go, and you've always got a project to finish, and there's always a remix you're still doing, and that's why it's quite hard to update stuff, whether it's your computer or your software or your room. You never really get time to, take a step back and kind of refresh stuff. So that's kind of partly what's been going on this year sort of so far. I've got tunes that didn't have space for on the album. I've got a couple of remixes that are kind of need to get finished, so they're just kind of in the background. And I can maybe squeeze one more Dusty Demos out, but I kind of, if they're not a kind of at least a 7 out of 10, I kind of just scrap them usually. So no, I think that I've got a couple of singles lined up from other producers for Symmetry, which, yeah, there's some wicked tracks we've kind of got signed, so we kind of just want to, you know, get some other people's stuff out. And that's kind of been a bit of a wait, where it's like, get my album out of the way and other people's releases are sort of due to come out. So yeah, we're going to focus a bit more on that, and I might chuck a single or two out as well from some of these kind of unreleased bits.
The question is, will you be coming down under on the back of Digital World? It's been a very long time since we've seen you down here across Australia and New Zealand, and we always look forward, at least the heads do, to your shows. So any news for us, anything that you can reveal? Will we see you in the latter stages of 2023 for the Australian summer?
I know, I nearly came at Christmas, but due to COVID, travel, all that kind of stuff, it just didn't quite pan out. And I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say of what's... There's definitely plans to come back, I'll say that. I'm hoping it might be this year. There's people on the case, and I had a great, you know, tour last time I did it, and we wanted to wait till the travel just meant we could, you know, do a proper tour how it should be. And from what I gather, everything's, you know, back to usual and kind of popping off in Oz and New Zealand.
Well, Charlie, thank you so much for joining us here on the Bassbin podcast to give us the lowdown on what we have coming up with Digital World and into the future on Symmetry Recordings, and even yourself as an artist as well. It's been a very enlightening conversation about your process and talking about a few of the artists that you've worked with on Digital World, and we look forward to the album release on the 12th of May.
Amazing. Cheers, James.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of the Bassbin podcast as we chat all things Digital World with the one and only Break. We have plenty more content in the pipeline, getting back to our regular longer format episodes too. So, as always, watch your bass bins and signing out from the Bass Bin DJs.